As we continue our study on the church, this is the part 7 of our study. We will read today from Psalm 48, all 14 verses, and then several verses from Hebrews chapter 12. Psalm 48, a psalm of the sons of Korah. The word of the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them their anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought of your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell to the next generation that this is God, one God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Then from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. The word of the Lord. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Blessed be the Lord, the great God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord who created all light to be radiant and all wisdom to be holy. Bless this congregation of your people with your Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth and of wisdom. Bless us with the word of truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, the whole of America is Zion itself, from north to south. So declared Joseph Smith, the founder of the Latter-day Saints, popularly known as the Mormon Church. Mormons believe, and it says in their Doctrine and Covenants, in the literal gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes, that Zion, the New Jerusalem, will be built upon the American continent. End of quote. And where in America would this Zion be built? In, they say, in the land of Missouri, the land of promise, and the place for the city of Zion. End of quote. And so in 1831, 1,200 Mormon faithfuls settled there. But in 1838, 10,000 were expelled from Missouri by a militia after a long war. Today, Mormons still believe that the redemption of Zion and the Millennial Temple will be built in Independence, Missouri, at Christ's second coming. But what does the scripture say about Zion? Is it a place? Is it a building? Is it a people? Our text today, Psalm 48, is about the God who established and defended Mount Zion. It is described as a mountain, a city, a temple, and is past, present, and future as God's special dwelling place. It consists of three main parts. Psalm 48, verses 1 to 3 is a celebration and praise to God, who is the great king of Mount Zion, a beautiful city that is the joy of all the earth. Verses 4 to 11 recall how the Lord defended her, Mount Zion, from enemies who attacked her, and how the city rejoiced at the Lord's preservation. Lastly, verses 12 to 14 is an invitation to consider, to think, and to remember how God has built Mount Zion's strong defenses, and to tell the next generation about the God who guides and preserves his people forever. And so then, Psalm 48 is not mainly about the majesty and beauty of Mount Zion, but about the steadfast love, goodness, and might of the Lord their God. Without God, the holy city will be destroyed by God's enemies. And this focus on God is vital because Mount Zion is a foretaste of God's indestructible, eternal holy city, the church. So in our text, reading in Hebrews 12, when God called Israel to assemble at Mount Sinai, he inaugurated Israel as his holy nation, his treasured possession, and his church in the wilderness. On that mountain, God made a covenant with his people, and his people worshiped him and vowed to obey all its commandments. There God promised that he would dwell with them in the tabernacle. And Israel vowed to obey his laws and commandments for their worship and life in the promised land. So as they traveled through the wilderness, God dwelt with them in the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle. 4 centuries after they settled in the promised land, King Solomon built God's temple at Mount Zion in Jerusalem to be God's dwelling place in Israel. The Ark of the Covenant rested in the temple's most holy place. The temple is a foretaste of the eternal city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So while the earthly city waits for the heavenly city, it will be continually harassed, persecuted, attacked by the pagan kings of the earth. But these attacks will be futile, for God himself is the city's fortress. And even as the attacks continue, the faithful church will continue to flourish and reach the whole earth. Therefore, our theme today is the church, part 7, a beautiful temple on Mount Zion under three headings. First, where the Lord dwells with his people forever. So like many other psalms of praise, Psalm 48 opens with a praise of God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In Psalm 96, we read two reasons why God is praised or God is great. First, he does marvelous works, especially in saving his people. Second, he is to be feared above all gods because he made the heavens. Only the Lord can do these things. There is no other. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. In the Old Testament, the city of our God, the holy mountain, and Mount Zion all refer to Jerusalem and its temple. It is his own possession, the city of God, the great king. Mount Zion is the mountain on which the temple has built. God is not only praised in this temple, but he also actually dwells in it. This city, this mountain, this temple is praised as beautiful in elevation. Just as the Lord dwelt in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and in the tabernacle with Israel, he dwelt in Mount Zion, the temple in Mount Zion. It is his presence that makes the mountain beautiful. And since Mount Zion is the holy and beautiful mountain where God dwells, how are we to gather every Lord's Day in his presence, in this holy gathering, in this holy temple? We are to be holy and blameless, with clean hands and a pure heart. And we are to be beautiful in his sight, in splendor, and clothe ourselves with fine linen, bright and pure, and not come in our normal or work clothes, but with our Sunday best. It is in the glory of the Lord that his people have joy. But not only Israel has joy. In the end, Zion is the joy of all the earth, and God's praise reaches to the ends of the earth. In Psalm 22:27, it also looks forward to that day when all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Though not completed yet, this prophecy started unfolding during Jesus' earthly ministry. Christ appointed his apostles to preach the gospel to the end of the earth, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And they did. By the time Paul wrote his letter to the Colossian church, the gospel, he says, has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. He was referring to the Roman Empire. So Gentile nations will be blessed with the gospel of Christ. The psalmist even locates Zion, north of Jerusalem, in a place called Zaphon, where the pagan god Baal sits in a pagan temple. Even Isaiah says, in Isaiah 14, the Mount of Assembly is in the far reaches of the north. As the gospel spreads, the God of Israel will drive Baal out of his temple, and he will sit on his throne in the north. And at the end of the age, when all of God's elect has been sworn in as citizens of his kingdom, he will usher in the joy of all the earth, and this joy will be forever in the Lord. Secondly, Kings surrounded Mount Zion, but are shattered. So Psalm 46 says that the city of God is peaceful, not in upheaval, so it rejoices because of its peace, security, and prosperity. There is a river that flows through the city and provides for the needs of its people, their animals, and their trees. God is the fortress of the city, well protected and secure with its high walls and watchtowers. God himself dwells with them in the city. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So when the city is attacked in the morning, at dawn, God fights for his people. And this is why verse 3 also says, within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. But in Psalm 46, verses 4 to 6, the psalmist contrasts the safe, secure, and well-provided city of God against the city of man in an uproar against God. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Mankind is in rebellion against God and Christ. They plot against the people of God in many parts of the world. To carry the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is a sure sentence of prison, torture, and even death. The gospel of Christ is forbidden to be preached in those places. They don't want any mention of our God. They only want to worship their own idol gods. Today, our nation is anti-Christian. It is an anti-Christian nation. Many politicians end their campaign speeches with "God bless America." But what kind of God? It is a nebulous God, undefined. God of all kinds of religions, whether Christian, Islam, Buddhist, Hindu, or even New Age. The unknown God, as Paul calls pagan gods in Acts 17. So, last year, on August 31st, California Bill SB 107 was given to Governor Newsom for his signature. And I don't know that he already signed it, because there is no news about his approval. So this bill, SB 107, would allow courts to take custody of minors from out of state who come to California for gender transition surgeries and cross-sex hormones, even if the minor's parents oppose these actions, or even if they do not know about them. Daily, Christians are ridiculed, harassed, and even persecuted by our democratic government. For example, a pro-life advocate who peacefully protested against an abortion clinic faces 11 years in prison, 3 years supervised release, and fines up to $350,000 if convicted on federal charges. So in verses 4 to 8 of our text, the psalmist recounts attacks by enemies of God's people, Israel. It says, "For behold, the kings assembled. They came together, but they were astounded, panicked, fled, trembled, and even in anguish. Nations assembled together to destroy Mount Zion in Jerusalem, but they panicked, trembling as they fled when they saw that the Lord God dwelt there in glory and in might. His promise to David of an everlasting kingdom will never be broken by any mighty invading army. Christ's promise to us today still rings true and will ring forever. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not terrorism, not martyrdom, not persecution by legal means, not by false gospels, not by wolves pretending to be sheep inside the church. Nothing shall separate you as Christ's church from the love of God, because our church is founded on Christ. For 2,000 years, the kings of the earth have tried and failed. Even on the last day, wicked anti-Christian forces will attack the church in vain attempts to destroy the church. So then on verses 9 to 11, the psalmist encourages you to meditate on God's unchanging love, whether in your home or every Lord's Day assembly, to think of his marvelous works of creation and his grace and mercy in saving you from sin, to rejoice and be glad as worshipers in Zion because of his righteous authority. Then on the last day, believers from all nations will gather in a great assembly in heaven, not like kings in rebellion, but as God's kingdom, to praise and give thanks to him for his judgments. Third and last, Mount Zion reaches to the ends of the earth. In this last section, verses 12 to 14, the psalmist invites worshipers to review the beauty and might of the holy city. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels. Now that the invaders have been destroyed, they walk out of the city gates to find their enemies' dead bodies. They are to consider how God has defended the city with her towers, ramparts, and citadels. But the mighty fortress was not their only defense, because God himself dwelt there, and he was their sure rock and fortress. As long as the Lord was with them, they will not be moved. So why is it important for the people of Mount Zion to know and believe that the Lord is their defense? Verses 13 and 14 tell us, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. The church will remain and be established forever when the former generation teaches the coming generation who our God is, its creeds and confessions, its songs, its prayers, and most of all, the unchanging true word of God. So our connection with the past is also our connection with the future. Together we believe the same doctrines, partake of the same bread and wine, sing the same songs, and pray the same prayers that our forefathers did. And when we teach them to our children, they will also do the same to their children. We believe and teach the same mighty wonders that the Lord has done in the past ages. So when you, as a church, do not neglect your duty to the next generation, the psalmist assures us that this God will also be their God, who will guide their lives forever and ever. And this is why the writer of Hebrews exhorts you to be looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God, to desire a better country that is a heavenly one. And God's promise is that he has prepared for us a city, our eternal heavenly dwelling place. The Lord has promised His Old Testament people that Mount Zion would reach the ends of the earth. So in our reading of Hebrews 12 at Mount Sinai, the Israelites were terrified when God revealed Himself as a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a deafening voice. There God made a covenant with them, declaring them to be His holy nation and treasured possession. But at Mount Zion, God's holy church, from all nations, peoples, and languages, assembles in festal gathering in the marriage supper of the Lamb, where they would be with their Savior and Redeemer forever and ever. Beloved Christian friends, believe that this eternal city that you enter in every Lord's Day, such as this, is heaven itself, a foretaste of heaven itself, a meeting with God, the judge of all, and with Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You, the church, is the city of God, His holy mountain, Mount Zion, the city of the great King. Today and every Lord's Day, God tells us, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So therefore, let us not neglect the Lord's Day gathering such as this, for beware, God punished His own people, Israel, for desecrating the Lord's Day for pleasure and business. Isaiah 58. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For God is still and forever a consuming fire. To those who worship Him without fear and trembling, and to those who worship other pagan gods. Let us pray. Our holy and merciful God, who is pleased to condescend to speak to us through your word, grant us all grace that we may not be mere hearers of your word, but doers also. We praise you and give you thanks for giving us one day in seven to assemble together to worship you in spirit and in truth of your word. We rejoice that your word is trustworthy, that you fulfill all your promises to preserve Mount Zion, the church, from all attacks and persecutions and temptations by the unbelieving world. May we bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do, as you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.